Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Microeconomics by Austin Goolsbee. With co-authors Stephen Levitt and Chad Syverson, is a college-level economics textbook designed to introduce students to the core logic of microeconomic analysis. It presents the subject as a practical toolkit for understanding how individuals, firms, and markets make choices under scarcity. Rather than treating economics as a purely theoretical discipline, the book connects models such as supply and demand, elasticity, market structure, and externalities to real business and policy settings. Its purpose is instructional to help readers learn how economists think, how to interpret incentives, and how to apply basic frameworks to everyday and institutional problems. Because Goolsbee is known for teaching and applied policy work, the text reflects an emphasis on clear explanation, contemporary examples, and the relevance of microeconomics to public debate and market behavior. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how scarcity and incentives organize microeconomic thinking. The book begins from the central microeconomic idea that limited resources force trade-offs. This is not just an introductory slogan. It is the organizing principle behind how the text approaches choice, pricing, and market outcomes. Students are taught to think in terms of incentives, because incentives explain why consumers change behavior, why firms adjust output, and why policy can produce unintended effects. By framing economic action around marginal decisions, the book helps readers see that individuals rarely respond to total amounts alone. They respond to the next unit, the next cost, or the next benefit. That perspective is essential for understanding everything else in the textbook, because it provides the logic behind demand curves, production decisions, and welfare analysis. The strength of this approach is that it makes microeconomics feel coherent rather than fragmented. Each later topic builds on the same discipline of reasoning about constrained choice. Secondly, supply, demand, and market equilibrium as the basic model of prices. A major portion of the book is devoted to the supply and demand model, which remains the most important framework in introductory microeconomics. The text uses it to show how prices emerge from the interaction of buyers and sellers, and how equilibrium summarizes the point at which quantity supplied equals quantity demanded. This model is valuable because it does more than describe markets. It predicts how markets respond to shocks. Changes in preferences, income, technology, or input costs all shift curves in ways that help explain price and quantity movements. The book also emphasizes distinguishing a change in demand or supply from a movement along a curve, a distinction that is essential for correct economic reasoning. By using this framework repeatedly, the text trains students to interpret market events analytically rather than intuitively. It shows that many apparently complex outcomes can be understood through a disciplined comparison of shifting incentives and resulting price adjustments. Thirdly, elasticity and responsiveness as tools for predicting market behavior. The book treats elasticity as a key refinement of the basic supply and demand model. Where equilibrium explains direction, elasticity explains strength. It measures how strongly buyers and sellers respond to changes in price, income, or related variables, and that makes it indispensable for prediction. The text uses elasticity to explain why some goods experience large quantity changes after small price changes, while others do not. This matters for business strategy, taxation, and policy design, because the same price change can have very different effects depending on responsiveness. The book's treatment of elasticity helps students move beyond memorizing curves and toward interpreting market sensitivity. It also clarifies why firms care about pricing power and why governments care about how taxes are divided between consumers and producers. In a teaching context, elasticity is one of the book's most practical concepts because it connects abstract models to observable outcomes in markets that students already know. Fourthly, market power, competition, and the limits of perfectly competitive models. The textbook does not stop at idealized competitive markets. It also explains market power and the ways firms can influence price rather than simply accept it. This is an important step because many real-world industries do not fit the assumptions of perfect competition. The book introduces monopoly and imperfect competition to show how pricing decisions change when firms face downward-sloping demand or strategic rivals. That shift in perspective helps students understand why market structure matters for consumer prices, output, and efficiency. It also makes the analysis more realistic by connecting microeconomics to industries where branding, differentiation, or entry barriers shape behavior. The value of this topic is that it shows competition as a spectrum rather than a binary condition. Students learn not only how competitive markets work, but also why actual markets often sit somewhere between textbook extremes. That makes the book especially useful for understanding firms' antitrust concerns and pricing strategy in modern economies. Lastly, externalities, public policy, and the role of microeconomics in regulation. Another important dimension of the book is its treatment of situations where private incentives do not produce socially efficient outcomes. Externalities, public goods, and government intervention are central examples. The text uses these topics to show why markets sometimes fail to account for costs or benefits imposed on others, and why policy tools such as taxes, subsidies, and regulation may be considered. This part of the book is analytically important because it moves microeconomics from description to evaluation. Students are asked not only how markets work, but whether the outcome is efficient and how it might be improved. The discussion is especially relevant in areas like pollution, education, healthcare, and infrastructure, where private decisions have broader consequences. By connecting market failure to policy response, the book gives readers a framework for assessing real economic debates. It also reinforces a major theme of the text: microeconomics is not just about prices, but about how institutions shape outcomes. In conclusion, Microeconomics by Austin Goolsbee is best suited for students taking an introductory economics course, especially those who want a textbook that combines clear theory with practical application. It is also useful for readers in business, public policy, or social science fields who need a reliable grasp of how markets, incentives, and firm behavior work. The main benefit of the book is that it presents microeconomics as a connected analytical system, rather than a list of isolated chapters. Readers learn how supply and demand, elasticity, market structure, and policy intervention fit together into one framework for interpreting economic events. What helps it stand out among similar textbooks is its applied orientation and contemporary style of explanation, shaped by authors with strong academic and policy backgrounds. Instead of relying only on abstract models, it emphasizes how those models illuminate pricing, competition, taxation, and regulation in real settings. For readers who want both conceptual discipline and everyday relevance, it offers a strong balance of accessibility and rigor. If you would like to support Austin Goolsbee, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.